This is Afternoon Programming with L.
What's going on, everybody? This is episode, I had to look over here always, 16 of Afternoon Programming. Of course, I am L. Today's another great episode. It's crazy because I told the people who listen, my listeners, the other day that I went from one episode a week. Now I'm going to start dropping two a week.
Okay.
And so this one's actually going to drop tomorrow, recording this on Friday. So it's like quick turnaround time. But welcome back to the episode. Today I have a very special guest. I'd say another hometown native from Arkansas. Man, I think I can't. I remember I first met you when I was in college. Cause I think I still have the first piece I bought from you. Long Wabo.
Word.
It's framed up at my house, like back in Arkansas.
Yo, word.
It's framed up. It was it's a Andre 3000 painting. It's framed up and it's still like in pristine condition.
What? I gotta see that.
I still remember that I actually linked up with you at a Walgreens. I met you at the parking lot to buy the print from you.
Word. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's still at the house. It's still up there with I had also like an Erykah Badu poster. I was like, you know, I love Andre 3000. So I was like,
yo, that's solid.
I had bought it and it's crazy. You know, it's just time flies.
Yes, sir.
But let me just go ahead and introduce my homie, my good friend, Andrew. Last name Williams, isn't it?
Yep,
Williams.
Yep.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Man, I would say he's a artist, curator. What other things would you add to that?
Man, basically just a visionary. So whenever it comes to creativity, I'm down with it. But I'm big on branding too. So yeah, I mean, I brand manage a couple different brands as well. So
gotcha. Yeah. Man, you just, like I said, like I remember the first time, I can't remember if it was through probably Brittany, your wife's sister. And I remember I don't know if she had shown off like some of your art, and then that's when I was like, "Oh, this 103,000 piece go hard."
Yeah.
And I was like, "This is so dope." And then linked up, and then became cool with you. And then after that, just you know, on and off, saying what's up, and then seeing like your artwork develop and just continue. Because it reminded me, you actually said earlier, like you were talking to me about our homie, a good friend Tommy,
another
artist here in Atlanta,
who he's
super dope. I met him a while back, some years ago when I first moved, and he's like super dope too, and I was like, oh, it makes sense that y'all would link up and meet eventually.
For sure. But I think we met the first time at Brittany's video shoot. You shooting that video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time we met, man.
I remember I was shooting videos like crazy back in the day. Because like now I kind of like cooled down on it a little bit more. I shoot them every now and then, not as crazy as I was back then. Mm-hmm. And like the story is like, I don't think I've ever told people. So back in the day, like, of course, people know I went to school for film for the most part.
Right.
And I was kind of just trying to get into like film world and just shoot videos and just, you know, just kind of sharpen my skills on it. And then I had linked up with Brittany, who is your wife's sister. Mm-hmm. And she was a part of this group called Dancers United.
Yeah.
That's what
it
is,
I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they would do these performances and stuff and do these videos, and we got real cool. And then she would always hit me to be like, hey, can you shoot this? We want to shoot a kind of like a video film for this show we got. And they put on shows and stuff. Right. And it was just crazy, man. Crazy. Because like that feels like forever ago now.
Yeah, sir. Probably about 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's crazy, man, how time flies like that. I wanted to ask you, so then, of course, from Arkansas, what part of Arkansas were you from?
Little Rock.
Little Rock, of course.
Yeah.
Little Rock. How did the journey first start in you getting into art?
I mean, I've been doing art since I was literally a kid, but it's been off and on because I was always an athlete. So I always played basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
My whole family did. So when it came to high school, I had to figure out what was going to happen next, which is I still want to play sports.
Yeah.
But my mother, she told me to just check in the art, just like tap into it. Because my senior year, I was in like all AP art classes, you know, just by default. So, you know, everything just happened the way it happened. And I fell into the art. Was supposed to go to school. Certain things kept me not from going to school. And then, you know, social media came about heavy as far as really like, but understanding other people's careers and how it's moving. So I realized it's like, I don't even need school to necessarily do what I'm trying to do. Cause I saw other people doing what I wanted to do, which is at the time was tattooing.
Wow. For real?
Yes, sir. But wow. I think all artists kind of want to start off tattooing because it's almost like a money grab, and at the same time, it's just, but it's very free. You know, it's not. I'm like, nobody is like bogging you down or anything. So, but that was short lived. I worked at, matter of fact, I worked at but University Tattoos.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, like I worked over there for a little minute, but I wasn't tattooing. But I worked the front desk and stuff because I was getting ready too. But
gotcha.
Yeah, I did that pretty quick.
Gotcha. So then when you say that you kind of started art, like even when you're young, is it just something that kind of felt right to you?
Right.
And so it just clicked with you. So it was that in sports.
That in sports, yeah. And it was just always just something on the side I do. You know, in elementary, other kids think it's cool.
Yeah.
Got to middle school. It wasn't necessarily so cool, but I was still doing it.
Yeah.
And then high school, I fell off a lot because I was actually like really into sports, but I still had all the classes. So I had to do it for homework. And things. It wasn't something freely I was doing at home, but I had to do it at school. And my teachers and things, they kind of pushed me to like, you know, try to take this serious.
Yeah.
So my senior year landed in all these APR classes. I'm like, okay, maybe so. And, you know, later found out how to go about it as a career. Was back and forth here a lot. Like, I've only been here for maybe 5 years, and a half years, but it feels like nine because... Because
you were traveling a lot.
I was back and forth here literally about like every other weekend or to like at least once a month.
Wow.
Because my wife was here.
Yeah.
So I was coming here, visiting her, tapping into the art scene, and then coming back, doing it all over a week and a half, 2 weeks later. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So then, what sports were you playing that were kind of like, you said you had that moment where kind of sports took a little bit in the front?
High school, it was 1,000% baseball. Baseball takes up baseball players' lives.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like the other sports. It's like either you in it or you not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I was deep into baseball for sure.
Did you ever have a moment where you were like, maybe I could do this? Where you were like, maybe I should put my all into baseball?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to the MLB. What you mean? I thought I was definitely going to school for it. And then, at least after that, just depends on like how my body developed and how I could keep up with it. But, yeah, man, that was short-lived because of a certain coach. You know how you run into that one coach that kills
that
the dream.
That kind of messes it up for you, yeah.
Yeah, man, just, well, killed a lot of our dreams. But,
you know,
it goes. But, yeah. Sports played a big part in how I take on the world today. You know, especially this art scene. Like, I feel like a lot of people are sensitive.
Yeah.
I mean, I can be sensitive probably at times, but yeah, man, just how I take it on, it's a whole different aspect on probably the average artist for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So then, do you remember, was there like a moment where like the baseball dream is kind of like, okay, this isn't going the way that I wanted it to go or thought it would go? And then, is there some part of you, well, art's still here. Maybe, what if I try this? Is there like a moment or something you remember that kind of pushed
man.
You that way?
Yeah, that was 11th grade. At the end of, I think, the baseball season, my mom's, she's the one that kind of spoke it into me. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, I was already getting prepared for the next year. Saw all the APR classes. So I was like, maybe so. And then I, you know, just started taking it serious from there. But I didn't know about making it into a career. That's what I was thinking sports as a career. Yeah. Like, okay, this can pay me for... You know,
X amount of time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think of me being an artist and trying to make money from it.
Got you.
So, until I got out.
Okay. So then once you got out of it, what kind of helped you be like, was there a certain thing, maybe books you read or people that you kind of helped guide you a little bit that made you realize like, oh, I can actually turn this into a career?
Man, social media. And like being an artist, you just simply got to have that confidence to say my work is worth X amount of dollars, which is what you're saying, how we met up at the Walgreens. Yeah. I'm just like, man, because it's funny because I don't even remember that.
I still remember that to this day.
That's
it's so
crazy,
funny.
But,
I swear, you came in and I might be misremembering this, but I remember you pulled up. It was, I want to say like some, either a gold or some type of color car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you either had a red or a pink do-rag on because you had just came out the house and you were just chilling. You was like, yeah, here's the piece. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, bet. And then I remember, I don't know why I remember that. It just stuck in my memory.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's crazy. That's crazy. Man, I love to see that piece.
When I go back home, I'll bring it back on the trip back.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna frame it up because like my girl had made this Love Below artwork right there for me.
Dope.
It was for a birthday of mine. people can't see it, but it's like this dope piece of the Love Below cover with mm-hmm. Andre 3000 holding the gun up with smoke mm-hmm. coming out of it.
Yeah, and so, that's solid.
Yeah.
That's solid, man. I can dig it.
Oh, yeah. But so then social media, it's crazy how timing works. I'm always mm-hmm. big on this because I wonder, do you think that had social media not been around, you would have pursued art?
That's a good question.
Because it almost feels like it was meant to be. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know how Little Rock is, though. Course. Like, coming from where we come from. Because you're from Little Rock, too, right?
Little Rock, North Little Rock.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not the same.
It's not the same. Don't. Hey, people who aren't from Arkansas think it's like, oh, it's just the North. It's not the same. It's two different places. People are big on that back home. They're like, no. You from the North side? And vice versa.
like, that's hilarious. But, man, it's... I don't know, but like coming from where we come from,
yeah,
it's not many people that's doing, because like, actually I consider me as like one of the first to kind of, I guess, pursue the art career and like really like push it as far as like selling it in galleries and things of that nature, as far as like from like our age group, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody else either went to school and then college kind of filtered them into the galleries or something, but as far as like straight out of high school, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of one of the only ones because I don't have many to reach out to, you know, that had similarities, mm-hmm. you know, because if so, then I would have definitely did it. Like, I try to keep up with anybody, or that's why I've been keeping up with you. Like,
yeah,
man, anybody creative from the city, I definitely try to keep up with them for sure. But, man, that's a solid question because I didn't have nobody to look after, so... Mm-hmm. But I feel like I would have, it would have probably just took me longer. Like, I probably would have just be jumping on it now.
Gotcha. Maybe. That makes
sense. That's interesting. Because everybody's older from the city. So they was either untouchable in the senses of, no, you got to go through the mm-hmm. the rankings, or you got to do this to get to a certain level, or, you know, so forth. Or they were just old and not wanting to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Just kept you at a distance, which is why I tapped in here.
Of course.
Because it was people like me, my same age, mm-hmm. older, slightly younger, that was been doing their thing, you know.
What people don't realize is, man, and I mean, Arkansas is not the only place, but Arkansas was kind of like a lot of gatekeepers.
And
I'm pretty sure there's some in Atlanta, just but mm-hmm. because we're not from here, we might not know. But like, back home, there wasn't a lot of opportunities available, mm-hmm. or if there were people be like, no, you're mm-hmm. not coming through this way, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, I left, because I remember originally I wanted to go to California, because that's where film industry is.
Right.
And then I was like, it's too damn expensive to go over there, live over there, especially with the money I had at the time.
Right.
But then Atlanta started booming, and they had, like, their own film industry coming in at the time, before all this Marvel stuff, and I was like, maybe I should go this way, and things kind of lined up for me to come out here.
Right.
And so... But Arkansas is like a whole different place. Not a lot going on. It's real country. And like, but there's a lot of people who are chill, and there's a lot of great talent out of Arkansas.
Well, it's changed now. Now it is a lot going on.
Okay.
But if these things was going on before I left, well, I definitely would have still left.
Yeah.
But if these things were going on before I left, I would have been tapped in a lot more there. Because like now, when I go back, I kind of feel like an alien. I feel like... I don't know the people in my city.
Yeah.
But when I was there, I was trying to get these things that's going on now going, but nobody really saw the vision for real. You know, everybody either felt like they couldn't do it or just didn't pursue it how I would have wanted to pursue it. Because when I think of something, it's like, I got to make it happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? No, definitely. So then, okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. So then social media is here, and it's like, you know, is it kind of like, what's the first social media that you started promoting art on? Because we come from back in the day, like MySpace.
Right. Right, but it was definitely IG.
IG, of course. Okay. IG, because it's funny when you were saying that, I remember how IG used to look like mm-hmm. before, how it looks all nice and sleek now. And mm-hmm. I don't know, you look at these old pictures and you'd be like, damn, it used to look like that. Mm-hmm. It looked more futuristic back in the day.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but it was definitely IG, and that was before you can filter it from IG to Facebook and Twitter or whatnot. But back then, I was kind of heavy on Twitter. Like, I don't use Twitter at all no more.
Wow.
Like, I probably have like 90 some followers on Twitter. Like, wow. I don't use, I mean, I still filter things through just because, but mm-hmm. I'm not on there at all.
Gotcha. So then this actually brings me to like a question that I had popped up today. So, you know, from when you started to where we are now, you know, now we're actually moving into a newer space, or maybe it's been here, but it's just now getting the notoriety, but like NFT art and like art like that. So
I got a mouthful.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that? Like, how does that make you feel?
It's dope. It's just, you know, you just gotta develop with the times. So if the art changes, you have to change, which is, that's who I am with graphic art. That's why I dug deep into graphics, because I felt, because I used to, because like in high school and things like that, like I used to be pastels and then like charcoal and things like that. And then right after high school, I moved into, well, I started paying more attention to the acrylics and oils, but I left all of that alone and just went 1,000% graphic because it felt good, like we were saying. Okay. So like now developing with the NFTs, it's like I've already been doing it. So now it's just simply just uploading it.
Gotcha.
I haven't uploaded anything yet.
Okay, I was about to ask.
But I got like two projects that I've been like sleeping on. One of the projects I'm in talks with some people.
Yeah.
The other project, I've kind of just been sleeping on it for a while, trying to figure out, because the NFT world is a game.
Okay.
A lot of artists, they just upload work and just see, you know, I'm like just hope for the best.
Yeah.
But it's different levels to it. Like you have to know, like what coins are up, what coins are down, as far as like percentage wise and like the value that you get back from that coin, what platforms are using certain coins. So then if you put up a piece for $1,000 on this platform and then you put up a piece for $1,000 on another platform, don't mean that you're going to get that exact value back in like actual real currency, like, you know, like dollars or whatever, because of the type of currency that each coin is valued at. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of got to do your math. Some people just don't care. Like I say, they just upload. I'd rather kind of go about it strategically.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just me though. I don't know.
Yeah. No, definitely. Because I remember when it first started, like NFT started pop up, I was like really confused. And then I could feel like, oh, this might be like a little shift. Because it's confusing at some point, or to me at the beginning for me, because I was so used to, well, you know, before in the past, art is something you collect, you know?
Right,
you have, in a way, now that I'm thinking about it, it's starting to make more sense for me, where it's like, back in the day, you know, you have all these famous painters and these famous artists, and like, no, this is the authentic piece right here that's worth thousands, millions of dollars.
Right.
And then you have people who kind of, I guess, either license it or they just do it to put it on posters, such and such, and so forth. And I guess maybe that's the newer evolution of it. Well,
it's different.
It is a little different.
Well, it's different, but it's actually mirrors the real world too. So basically just the NFT, where all they doing is just getting work and trading it almost immediately, unless they got it for a crazy amount of like money and they can't necessarily get it off, but they waiting for that high dollar, so it's worth the wait. But that's technically how it is in the real world. I mean, if you was to buy a Hebe Brentley piece tomorrow, then it's worth X amount of dollars. I mean, if you had it and somebody saw it over at your house for an event, whatever, or a museum asked for you to use it, so forth, and they wanted to buy it from you, and it's double the worth, I mean, would you not sell it or would you sleep on it? So now that brings up the talk of how do you feel about the work? A lot of people say, well, if you bought something and you keep it and you hold on to it, or you just pass it down. I respect all of that too, but the reason why the art world is so high in demand as far as like just the value of it is because a lot of rich people buy art, trade it, sell it.
Okay,
you know, and they buy it to sell. So they buy it because it's like stock on the wall. So they buy it to pass down as far as value.
Yeah.
So it's typically the same thing, except for you just playing with fouls. You get a foul, you buy, but you're more so trying to trade it instantly.
It's basically like stocks.
Exactly. That's all it is. But that's what art is in real life. Like all of that art right there, that's stock on the walls. It's value. She has value to herself because she created those pieces, and she has her own collectors. But the more collectors she gains, the more value she adds to herself and her work and her you know, worth, period.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all.
That's crazy, man. Like when you think of stuff like that, because you can kind of basically say the same thing for like music. You know, if a song is really good, one person listens to it, they like it so much, they share it. More and more people start to come up next thing.
This podcast.
Basically, yeah. Exactly. The more and more people listen, and that's what I need, more people.
Exactly. Bring them in.
Exactly. That's dope. Yeah. And so then you said you moved here, Atlanta. You've been here, you said, 5.5 years now?
Yeah, about 5 years. Yeah. 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how was, well, you said you'd been traveling back and forth. So you were kind of accustomed to how things move around here as far as.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, as far as the art scene for the most part. But I guess when I first moved here, we stayed up north by Oglethorpe because that's the school my wife went to. But as far as getting like the real Atlanta, like East Atlanta and West, you know, and like a little bit of the South, is when we moved to the East Side. So, we, you know, EAV area. So when we moved there, that's when we really got in the mix and really got to know,
know the real areas. So then from those times, the however long you were traveling back and forth, did you already have like an established collection or group of people and friends that you knew out here?
Yeah, friends for sure. I was still developing collectors and things, though. Okay. Which is, I mean, that's going to forever be, you know. But, yeah, friends, yeah, like in the art community here and there. But, yeah. But that's, now it's like I've been here for a while, so I got friends outside the art community, in the art community, you know, and all different types of you know, things now. So
That's so dope. So then what, like, do you have, like, an end goal for your art? Are you wanting to be, like, you know, those artists that are, like, a Bansky type of artist or, like, you know?
Man, I feel like that was my early on goal.
Okay.
That was my early on goal, try to be this huge artist that's just looked at as like a god or something.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like that's all, but I feel like that's all artists when they first start, because it's like a certain type of inspiration.
Yeah, yeah.
But nah, I'm just kind of going with the flow because I realize me as an artist, I'm not really just an artist. Like, I'm like so much more, not to like big myself up by any means, but to just, but just what I've developed over time. So like, you know, with the brand and things, like, I feel like I'm here more so to help than I am to just, everything is about me.
Gotcha.
So I've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes too. So those things added more value to myself as far as like just making connections with people, just relationships, just like getting different rooms and things. So I just been trying to stick to that, trying to go more so for my purpose and not trying to be this crazy big artist, but more so just a creative that people can look at as like, okay, AW really helped. Like, he helped me get here. Like, basically help other artists get to certain levels and myself too, but using my path as like, it's like a blueprint. You know what I'm saying? So, but I can say one of my main goals is to definitely have a small chain of galleries in the future.
But
small galleries. Like, I don't want no huge fancy gallery. I just want it small, clean, sleek, and I want to be able to like introduce my collectors to these artists, whether they in high school, straight out of high school, somebody that's done retired, that's always wanted to do art, make money from their art. I just want to introduce them to a quality show, how to put it on, how to organize it.
Wow.
How to just go about it and make money off of art.
No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that actually sounds really dope when you have something like that that's like small and niche, like that. Just because there's a lot of cool, like, big art museums, you know, those are
cool,
but it's dope to have something where it's like as niche as that. And you have these, you're like, oh shit, I didn't know about this. This art's dope.
Right.
Cause there are so many people who make dope art that might not have the exposure or like might not know how to go about putting their stuff out there.
Right.
It's the same thing with like the music industry. There's a lot of great artists.
Exactly.
It's like, but you know, it's all about, I guess, the what I can relate it to is back in the day, you know, when I was like, I want to do music as well as everything else that I'm doing. It's like, I love the creating part, but then there comes a part where you're like, oh, I have to learn the business.
Because
like, it's good to, you know, be good at what you create. But if you don't know how to be like, make money off of it or how to push it out there to get people to come to you.
Right.
Then it's kind of like, well, okay, you know, what are we doing here?
Exactly. You know? And then I figured a combination of small things can be colossal, like that one colossal, you know, type of gallery or like conglomerate of a gallery. So if I can make a couple small ones have the same impact on artists and they blow up in their own rights or already blow up and I just catapult them forward.
Yeah.
Then it just adds value to me, who I am.
Exactly.
And then just make it to where I can open up even more doors. You know what I mean? So that'd be dope. But yeah, but I mean, things are literally developing every day. So I can't call what tomorrow necessarily bring. I just got to go with the flow.
I dig it. That's so dope. I wanted to ask you, how many galleries has your art been in? If you could count, like, I'm pretty sure it's been a lot.
Not a crazy amount.
Okay.
I don't know, because I started in Little Rock first, uh-huh. which is a pyramid gallery. I don't know if you know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, so I started with her, but then we showed in different spots in Little Rock and in like in Hot Springs and things.
Mm.
And then, like here, and then like, you know, it's a lot of places that I've shown that's not really a gallery. They turned it into a gallery for those things too. If those are considered, I mean, yeah, man, I couldn't even tell you, honestly. Yeah, because it's not many solid real galleries, but yeah. I'm a part of those galleries. Like right now, like I'm in Jennifer Bacos gallery.
Okay.
So like that's a big gallery here. Like she's definitely doing her thing. It feels like an LA gallery in Atlanta.
Okay.
So yeah, y'all should check her out too, for sure.
Have you ever had any artwork overseas or anything yet?
Not overseas. I haven't really tapped in, but I had a lot of, you know, those little companies that reach out trying to eat off you, for sure. But no, I haven't shown over there. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not against it by any means. But I'm not like 1,000% focused on it.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to create my own gallery scene, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's one thing to move in other gallery scenes. Because like here, we have our gallery scene, but it's broke up into like 8 different parts.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of like what part you're a part of. But I'm trying to create my own to where I can move on my own 2 feet, and it's not based off of social media too. It's, you know, it's kind of based, I'm slightly off of that, but a lot of by connections, word of mouth, and who I know, and you know, so forth. But yeah, man, it's a project, but hey, I'm a guinea pig right now. So
no, I feel it, man. That's what you got to do. It's always about like trying things, you know, because one big thing, especially when it comes to the creative field, whether it be art, music, really anything in the entertainment industry, you just have to try things. Because you don't know what's going to work, what won't work, and you don't know what's going to hit and what's not going to hit. You'd be thinking, you know, something, you're like, oh, this is about to hit him. You're about to hit him with this. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, shit, it doesn't even hit. But then something that you didn't really care for too much of. Have you ever had that with, like, a piece of art that, like, is there a piece of art that you really love? And then, like, there's one that you're like, okay, this one's cool. And then people just gravitated towards it?
I have a piece right now. It's hanging up in my house that I just knew was going to. Not necessarily changed the world or nothing, but I just knew the show that I showed it, presented it, and I just knew it was going to be one of the first ones to go, and it definitely didn't. It's hanging in my house right now. But I pretty much have confidence in all the work that I put in. I'm not one of those artists that, like, look at work, scratch it, and throw it away.
Gotcha.
But me as a graphic artist, I don't delete anything. I just keep it.
Okay.
But normally, if I created it, I felt good about it. If I didn't feel good about it, I probably wouldn't have went about it, if that makes sense. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I don't have any, well, like, I guess at the very end, after getting the work printed off, framed and things, I guess the frame and display can maybe, like, change how I feel about it as far as put this piece over another piece, maybe, or even size.
Wow.
Because if I get a piece that's bigger than one of my other ones that's more of a smaller piece.
Yeah.
Of course, the bigger piece can have more of a presence than the smaller piece. So, yeah, that might change, but I don't know. Now, I don't think I have pretty much favorites.
So you love all your art. You're like fine with it all.
For the most part. Now, that changes when it comes to like commercial work or like, you know, trying to do something for somebody for a commission.
Gotcha.
Now, that changes because I can't give nobody nothing that I feel is dope.
You're very critical of it. You want to make sure that
For sure.
But this is like top of the class, like right
for
here.
For sure.
I dig but that.
That's for sure.
Damn, that's crazy. We were just talking about it because before we started recording, you were asking me about, like, so I was heavy into concert photography and I went on tour with Crit, done stuff with West Side Gun. I've worked with a lot of, it's crazy because I was thinking about this, I think a week ago or something, where when I first moved here, I was actually working with a lot of big name people, like Zaytoven, Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
When Gucci first got out of jail, and like I was working with like him and Zay, for just like a short, like real short period of time,
right?
And but I have a lot of photos from those that I always forget. It's because, you know, I'm not looking at them or anything, and then and like I think I was going through a period back in the day where I was like, I hate my work, and then I just deleted my Instagram, then brought it back. And then I started to post some stuff back. And
I
then
you're going to say deleted the work.
No.
No, don't do that.
No. I have all my work, like all my hard drives backed up and everything.
Okay.
So, but But you showed you the West Side Gun joint. I shot, everybody knows, I think for the most part, listen, I shot Supreme Blindtell and then two other covers and his most recent cover for his project. And the way that it came about, you were asking me how it came about.
Right.
I had just gotten off a tour with Crit and a homie of mine, DJ Kerosene.
Yeah, Kerosene.
Oh, you know Kerosene?
Yeah, okay. Fool Kerosene.
So shout out to the homie DJ Kerosene.
For sure.
He, at the time, I didn't even know who West Side Gun was. This is before he got to where he is now.
Right, right, right.
And he was like, I think I was taking a break from photography because being on tour kind of wore me out from constantly creating. And like randomly, like I want to say one night or like it was an afternoon, he was like, yo, I got my homie West Side Gun, who he's trying to shoot a cover for a project. And he's like, are you free? I told him, you know, you went with Crit, da, da, da. And I was like, yeah, I'm free. He's like, I'm going to send you his number and he's going to hit you.
Connects.
Yeah. And then he connected me. And then we went to this hood part of the city.
Yeah.
Like this real, like on this little bando. And I was like, cool. Who's West Side Gun? I looked him up and I was like, okay, you know, he's got a little tracker. I didn't know who he was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And met him, linked with him and a few of his other people that were real cool.
Right.
And yeah, shot the cover there. It was so funny because he was like real cool. He was like, yo, you know, I got this like AK-47 right here. Da, da, da. And I was like, that's probably real.
Yeah. That's what I was about to ask. Was
like,
it real?
No, it was real. Wasn't his. No comment. But he was just like, I want to do. He didn't. He kind of. He. Oh, what he did was he's very big into fashion.
Oh, yeah.
And he had this. What was it?
Fendi.
Yeah. Mask.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I want to do something with this and with this gun or whatever. And then he kind of let me create with it. And he was like, you got any ideas how to make this look cool? And I was like, yeah, let's try this, try this. And then the one time I was like, oh, let's do it to where it looks like you about to go rob somebody. You putting it on to go, you know, do your thing, just go to war. And he had like this grill. And I don't know if he had his grill in his mouth. And I was like, you got to show that aggression.
Right.
Because he's like very grimy. He's from Buffalo. His music's very like rough. And bro, I remember when I took it, I was like, oh, this is a real dope photo. But I didn't think it would turn into what it turned into.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the last thing about that is like I was tripping because Jay-Z retweeted it. And I was like, yo, Jay-Z retweeted my photo.
Work. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, that's,
know that yeah, sir. That's
you know, when you get somebody who you're like, bro, I grew up listening to him. And, you know, it's just crazy. But that's how that happened. Yeah. And so I think I'll probably take your advice because I need to go back into those archives and be like, this is dope. This is dope.
Sure,
this
is dope. Because just, if you're just sitting on it, why not?
Exactly. Just let it go do something.
All right.
And so what was I going to say? I meant to ask you. So when you coming up in the art world, did you have any influences like other artists that you looked up to that were big on you?
I'll say Maya Bailey.
Okay.
Was one of the first. But like Hebrew Brentley, Paper Frank, you know, those were all people who I felt that was tangible, who I can actually touch.
Okay.
But it's you know, older artists and things, you know, like I'm like the basics, you know. But I'm not one of those ones that just know every single artist, you know, like in history and then just say, hey, I just want to be like them.
Yeah.
Definitely not one of those. But and I'm more about our times too. Mm. Like I understand history, but I'm more about our time. So I look at my peers and things as like goals, but you know, just like, it's like definitely inspiration and people who I can, you know, contact and big up for them and, you know, want to meet them and learn from them. Like, I don't always have to learn from somebody above. I can learn from, you know, you too, just how we talked about the boards, you know,
that's
like,
it's,
I mean, just learn all the time. So yeah, man. But I mean, like I say, my friends, you know, just friends of mine, like, you know, like Tommy Nim and things of that, or like people, but you know, Coco.
I don't know if I know Coco
Priestess. She's a photographer too. I tried to link y'all one time.
Did
I think like a while ago. Because y'all both, you know, on the same level as far as photography and things of that nature. So, and I'm, again, like I always say, like I'm always trying to help, always trying to link other artists or just people in general who can both benefit from each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I say, yeah, really just friends and people who I, you know, like I just named out. And then like Corey Davis them and things like that, because that was Atlanta to me before I moved here, you know.
Wow.
But now I just know so much more. So now it's, you know, now it's D.L. Warfield, you know, the Fahamus and, you know, Goldie Gold and, you know, all of these people. And like, I actually know them all too. So that's dope. So they, you know, all were tangible and things as well. And yeah, man, those are people who I can actually reach out to now. who would give me word of advice, critique my work, or, you know, just put me up on game on what I could do next, or so forth. So, yeah, man.
Okay. And I want to ask you, because you had just mentioned it, just like about critiquing your work. Are you very, like, you know that Erykah Badu quote? She's like, I'm real sensitive about my art, like very sensitive. Were you, was it like that for you in the beginning, where you were kind of like, or were you always open to like criticism for other artists, from other artists, or like people in general?
I mean, I can say I'm kind of like that now. Well, kind of sensitive a little bit now, I guess you could say. Well, but if you, but like if my wife was here, she'd be like, he's sensitive. Cause my wife is like probably my hardest critique.
Wow.
Like she will. Yeah. She'll just let me know, like, I like it, or like she don't.
Okay.
But I'd be feeling some kind of way, but I can't, because I'm like, you see what you see, you feel what you feel.
Exactly.
But the goal is for everybody to feel how you feel as the creative, you know what I mean? So maybe I just didn't do my job and I got to get better at it. But sometimes, I mean, like an art piece can be a lot like an album. Like I might take from an album something that you might not take from an album. We listen to the same exact album.
Yeah.
But like, that's how a piece is. Like, because I've literally heard people look at my work like I'm just sitting back. They don't even know that I'm an artist. I'm just listening. They not critiquing my work, but they're telling each other what they think the work means. And I'm like, either they both wrong, or one person might be wrong, or technically sometimes both of them might be right. It's just kind of split down the middle. But it's just interesting to hear people, you know, take in the work and critique it. But I mean, I haven't gotten any hard critiques from anybody really. It's one, I can't think of his name right now, but it is one artist. He's an older artist. And he chewed my work out.
Oh, wow.
He chewed my work out. But I was just like, I don't think he knew my work, because we was talking about it. And he said he knew what work I was talking about, but I don't think he did.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't standing in front of the piece.
Gotcha. Okay. So,
but I just took it on the chin, just let him say what he's, you know, said. But I was just like, I don't think he's talking about the right artist. But
oh, wow.
But I mean, hey, sometimes you get that, man. Sometimes you get it.
It be like that sometimes, because like, I know I feel that way about like photos that I've taken, or like music that I've created, and things like that. Because I know, especially, it's just, you know, I don't know if it is, I would assume it's for you the same way for you as it is for me, where sometimes maybe it's a lot of feeling into it.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I wouldn't say, you know, you just go, I'm just gonna, like, the way that you create art, do you create it more so like, I'm feeling this type of way, and then just kind of you let it come out, or do you have an idea going into it?
I have an idea going into it, but it's based off of feelings, though. It's based off of what I feel. So, like, if I'm the simple emotions, happy, mad, sad, or whatever, I mean, I would go about it a certain way. But it's a thought behind something. Like, maybe something happened that week that caused me to feel a certain type of way. So then I approach it that way, you know? So it definitely starts off maybe with emotion and then goes into an actual vision.
That makes a lot of sense. I know it's like that for like music. When I play the piano or something like that, like if I'm feeling emotional, I'm about to get in there. I'm trying to make people cry. I'm trying to get people like, hey, this is how I be feeling,
right.
Or if I'm in a good mood, or if I'm in a hype mood, it kind of goes that way. Because like, there are times too where like, and I feel like every artist goes through this. Maybe you as well. Where you ever have those days where you want to create, but nothing is coming out, or maybe you just don't enjoy it as much?
Yes, for sure. That's mainly when I'm doing like commission work, maybe, you know. Haven't really had that much so working for myself, but over the past 2 years or so, I've been doing a lot more commissions than I have created for myself, like way more.
Oh, wow. Normal. Okay.
And a lot of that had to do with the pandemic and things, but but I could definitely go into those modes.
Do you ever have it to where like, it's like whatever you're creating is just not coming out the way you want it, and you're like, okay? Because some people, like for me, for example, if I'm ever creating, like playing the piano, or if I'm trying to make some sort of song, it's not coming out, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna take an hour break or something, step away and then come back.
But it's just like playing a video game. You can't pass that level, so you got to go have a snack and then come back. You pass it with ease. You're like, man, what's really going on?
Exactly.
But yeah, like, I definitely had those moments. But social media did that for me. Like, social media kind of drained it for me, because It's like it started off natural where you just want to show your work, mm-hmm. and then you start feeling yourself kind of trying to keep up with showing your work every day or showing the process every day. Yeah. So then you start like showing them your actual process instead of showing them the finished piece. And then it kind of became like, man, I'm doing this for y'all. I'm not even doing this for me no more.
Wow, yeah.
So then that's why I pulled back from social media a lot and stopped showing myself a lot. And it just kind of just started showing my regular life.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, kind of start feeling like I was working for IG instead of me.
Wow. I'm glad you said that. That makes a lot of sense. Cause like I've had that where like social media will just pull you in, you know, it'll pull you in and it'll distract you from a lot of things. Cause like it'll keep you from doing the thing that you love doing.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
if you're not
yes.
careful and you're not like strict on yourself. And so like, you know, I have like, you have an iPhone too, right?
Yeah.
The iPhone. So like I have that little time limit set. So I'm like, okay, every day I can only get on for like an hour or two.
Gotcha,
you know,
gotcha.
I got to get in and get out.
Yeah.
Or I can only get on for however much time. Mm-hmm. Because if not, I'll be like, you know, you're on there and next thing you know, time flies. And you're like, shit, an hour went by. Exactly. I could have been playing the keys, doing something, you know. And now I'm just sitting here and I'm like, shit, you know, what's going on?
Right.
That's because like right now I'm working on a project. It's a compilation album with other artists that I'm producing completely. And like I had to sit there and be like, okay, I'm gonna get off of the social media for a little bit and just be in here creating.
Yeah, just focus.
And just focus, because it's good. It feels good when you're creating all these things and things start to come together and you actually spend time with it
to
sharpen your skills. Because if you don't use your skill, most of the time you tend to lose it slowly. I don't know if you have you ever had that where you kind of took a long break and you're like, ooh, hold on, like
I don't think I never felt like I lost it, but I guess a little detached, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like I could kind of have that feeling, but I know what I know, and it's kind of like it's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
So you can always go back into it. Now I guess having the feeling of have I developed, like got better.
Yeah.
Now that might be a thing. Like, oh, well, maybe I haven't touched this in a while, but I haven't developed more like I would normally.
Gotcha.
So yeah, like, I felt that before.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I've definitely felt that, because I can tell when I've been playing the keys a lot, because I'm like, oh, I'm getting faster, and I can, you know, I'm not like super quick, but I know I can go from here, and be fine moving. Versus like I take a week off, I'm like, hold on, my fingers feel rusty.
Yeah.
Be like that. It's interesting, because I think, do you ever have? Let me start off with this example first before I ask the question. Because you know, you listen to podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of comedians, and it's always interesting to me.
Yeah.
When they talk about, you know, comedians, they spend a lot of their lives working up to like an hour, right? To be like, I got an hour of material, and let me drop this special. Yep. And one thing that they always, I say for the most part of people who I listen to, they go, here's this hour, and then it's just like they're on empty, and they're like, oh shit, what do I talk about now?
Right.
So like when you're creating art. And like, for example, this project, I know I might have like a day or so where I'm like, well, shit, I created all this stuff. It's done now. I put it out. Now I'm like, what do I do now? You know, I'm going to keep pushing the project. But it's like, well, if I want to create, well, what are we doing now? You know?
Yeah.
Do you ever have that like with your pieces? You're like, oh, this is a part of me. I put it all into here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you go back and you're like, well, I guess I'll live life for a little bit before something comes to me, you know, to create something new.
Right. Every day brings something. So I guess it just depends on what you like, what you focus in on, and what you want to actually express. So I haven't had that per se, but I guess it kind of comes in different ways though.
Okay.
But it's always something there. It's always something there. Now I can say I could feel a little, possibly lazy, where it's like I simply don't feel like creating today.
Yeah.
But I also create in like multiple different ways. Like, okay, so I consider like my creativity here and like my actual artistry, like here.
Okay.
So like if I lost my hands tomorrow, I still be able to create something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I like to sit back and like create concepts. So concepts are big. Like I mean, right now on this podcast, I probably thought of like two. Like simply for you too. Like just like, oh, like he can do this, he can do that. Like just thinking of concepts is big. And that's why I'm into like cinema and stuff. Like,
I watch
a lot of movies. A lot of movies or like TV series and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I gotta watch something every day. Like
that's interesting.
Simply. So, and it's based off of just understanding where they created it from, or just taking me into a different world. I think that's why I'm really into that. So
that, I get that. That's super dope. That makes a lot of sense. Because, like, I know I watch... Well, growing up, that's why I was into film so much, mm-hmm. was because my mom loved movies.
Yeah.
And there was the TV was always on, yeah. playing a TV show, playing a movie. Mm-hmm. Nobody could have been watching it, but it was still on, and it's still playing.
But what's your favorite series right now?
Right now? I think currently, because me and my girl, we watched it. I actually really... loved Squid Games, but because of okay. the art style,
yeah,
of how like the colors and just all the whoever constructed, yeah, because of the director of photography, how they shot it. I'm mm-hmm. like, yo, it just like it's not just about like killing, it's like how they frame it and yeah. make it look. And I was like, yeah. wow, this is beautiful,
right? Right, because I'm like, well, I said that's ironic because last night I was literally going down a whole list of things that you might not know about it. Mm-hmm. And they were just going over the details of where the director and the writer, you know, came from mm-hmm. as far as how they approached it and why they did certain things. Mm-hmm. Like something as simple as the room where the beds were stacked. Uh-huh. They wanted that to feel like a warehouse store. Like they were just items on the shelf.
Wow.
And I was just like, that's interesting. That makes
it subtle. It's yeah, subtle.
Exactly. But those are things that when I go back and watch, I can take in deeper.
Yeah, you can get a whole new set of eyes to be for like, oh, sure, shit, that makes sense.
Exactly.
It's funny you say that because I ran across like a video that this girl was explaining like how they subtly foreshadowed like in the show people dying, and so like the main characters like you would mm-hmm. see in their normal lives like this happened, and then they kind of died in that way.
Not that way, exactly. I mean,
it's so funny because you'd be like, oh shit, why did I say that? It's because you're not really looking. Yeah. Until you go back, you're like, that did happen. That shit happened.
And I think it's because the show draws you into like a certain world. So mm-hmm. you're literally living in that world as you watch it. Like you're not even paying attention to the subtle things. Uh-huh. After, I feel like the people that can really see those type of subtle things mm-hmm. aren't really focused on what the cinema is really like there mm-hmm. for. It's meant yeah. to draw you in, take you to a different world.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like you've been behind the scenes with certain things. And then when you go home and you watch, it kind of sucks the life out of it because now all you seeing is how it's really working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the type of people that will be able to see those details because now we're looking at it from how the person created it and mm-hmm. not what they created.
Exactly.
So I be trying to like, I try to see both sides.
Yeah,
of it.
Exactly.
And that's something that I've learned here recently from like being behind the scenes and like seeing how it worked. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't like it no more. And it didn't take me long. It didn't take me long to figure out that like, well, I like the life.
Yeah.
But it didn't take me long to figure out that I really don't like knowing this because I like to be drawn into the movies.
Exactly.
I like to be drawn into certain shows exactly. and things, you know. So when you get behind the scenes, it kind of ruins it a little
bit. Man, it does a little bit because it's kind of like you're pulling back the curtains of how mm-hmm. this big machine works. Mm-hmm. And so you'd rather just be like, let me just see the magic and mm-hmm. let me just see that. Because mm-hmm. I've been on plenty of sets where you're like, oh, this is how they do this? Okay.
Seeing certain people's relationships and exactly. things. You're like, oh, man, I had this idea of y'all. Okay, so this is how it is in real life. So you...
Exactly.
Yeah, it changes.
Definitely. The last question I wanted to ask you before we end the podcast... With where art is going right now with, you know, NFTs coming into the space, mm-hmm, do you mm-hmm. think in the direction that it's heading, it's probably going to get deeper into that and we're just going to be more, because you saw the, mm-hmm. you saw the, what is it? Oh, the Facebook Meta thing that they talked about. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Like the new, like reality.
Yeah. Like create a world for people to kind of go into.
Yeah.
Where do you think art is going?
Man, I guess in that aspect, they're mm-hmm. definitely trying to create their own work, kind of like on like some Black Mirror,
yeah.
you know, type vibes. I don't know if I'm interested in that. And that might be old school of me, though,
yeah.
you know, so I might have to like develop it and like use it for its good mm-hmm. and not necessarily for the negatives of it, because it's definitely going to have its negatives.
Yeah.
But as far as connecting that with NFTs, I just feel like the NFT lane is... I don't really know if it's going to last, but if it does last, it's just going to be another lane that you can use as an artist. Yeah. And I feel like not all artists should use it because I think that's where it is now. I think everybody trying to get in because they feel like it's a money grab.
Yeah. Make a lot of money.
But I think if you genuinely do it, then, you know, you take advantage of that. Kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, my medium is graphic. So I'm literally trying to take advantage of everything
of course.
In my medium and not just because like the gallery world within the commercial world and, mm-hmm. you know, just regular commission. I mean, like just the gallery world and the commercial world are just two total different worlds. It's two totally different ways to approach it, and it's two totally different careers, like the how you approach. But I want to be in both. I don't want to just, you know, be in one, which is, you know, I have been working in both. So, but I'm trying to get deeper.
Exactly. Both, you know, that makes sense. I'm glad you said that, because like I think when the NFT kind of like, I'm gonna call it the NFT boom, because that's what it feels like we're in right now, where it's like you were saying, everybody's like, I got this, let me put this up here, let me sell this, let me sell that. But I kind of feel like, because I think there was a part of me, and this is the old man in me talking, like this shit ain't gonna last. But then when I really look at it, I think what you had said earlier, I think what's just gonna happen is gonna become a lane of itself.
Yeah,
it won't be as big of as a boom, but it'll still be there. And you know, it'll probably be just another part of art, you know,
or like just another avenue.
Yeah,
that's all it is. But it's just gonna give another option for people to go down. If they want to go, they can go. But you can't knock the ones that's down their lane that's making money from
it either,
you know?
They just knew how to go about it and get in there, you know, and do their thing.
Exactly. And then some, just look at the draw, because there's some stuff on there that you're just like, how? How? How did this happen? But it happened, and you can't knock them. And if that artist can eat and can go home and can feed their families or just feed themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm like, you can't hate on that.
I know.
You got to appreciate it. You got to salute it.
They hustled, man. They got in and got that money and got out.
Yeah, like, it was purpose. I mean, like, I'm like, that was their purpose. So, hey.
Dope. That's what's up, man. Well, this is episode 16 of Afternoon Programming. A.W., Andrew, thank you for being on the podcast.
Of course.
Before we go, plug your social medias or anything you want to plug for the podcast where people can find you, or just what you got going on.
Okay. So, but you can follow me on basically Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I guess, at AW the artist, and that's AWTHE artist. And I'm working with a couple of different brands. One I have on now called Curate the Wave. It's my sister's brand.
Oh,
she plays for UConn, Kristen Williams, number 13. Yeah, man, she'll be, you know, going places here and stuff soon. So I got a brand kicked out for her because, you know, they can actually make money and things now.
Yeah.
So we're trying to team up with these big, with these bigger brands like the Nikes and Adidas instead of them owning, you know. Yeah, man. But I'm looking on, but I'm looking to take on maybe like one more client to like permanently be, kind of be stuck with for a while, like over like a certain amount of time. But other than that, man, just trying to get them kicked off and get them pushing. And yeah, man. And I also got, like some new ideas is coming up. So if you follow me, you will see. See exactly what I have coming, but it's gonna change the art scene, like I was saying. Like, it's gonna create like a whole new lane in itself.
Dope.
Hopefully, like I say, like
No, definitely. That's what's up, man. AW the artist, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Follow him. Super dope. Got great art. Check him out. You've been listening to Afternoon Programming, episode 16. Follow the Instagram and the TikTok. I finally created a TikTok for that. It took me a long time just because I was a little lazy. I had like a personal one, but I was like, I got to do this, you know? But Afternoon Programming on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere you listen to, rate, review, really gets us out there. Thank you so much. And we'll catch y'all on the next one. Peace.